You're listening to the RBN Energy Blogcast. This is an audio version of RBN's Daily Energy Blog, which is a fun and informative daily commentary on oil, gas, NGL, and renewable markets. Each morning, we cover commodity fundamentals and industry changes to keep you informed of developing trends across the energy landscape.
Sunday, October 9, 2022. Dizzy. U.S. LNG feed gas volumes swing wildly ahead of peak winter demand. Published by Lindsay Schneider. Total U.S. LNG export capacity is around 12 BCF per day, including the still commissioning but nearly complete Calcasieu Pass. About 13.5 BCF per day of U.S. natural gas supplies, or feed gas, is required to produce that much LNG, but feed gas demand has averaged just 10.5 BCF per day over the past week despite still soaring global gas prices and an undersupplied global LNG market. Two U.S. terminals are currently offline: Freeport LNG, which has been out of service since an explosion and fire in June, and now Cove Point LNG, which shut for annual maintenance October 1st. Beyond those outages, which have taken about 2.75 BCF per day of demand out of commission, LNG feed gas volumes have been extremely volatile, swinging as much as 2 BCF per day within a week. Don't expect this to last, however, with winter approaching, the return of both Freeport and Cove Point on the horizon, and the full startup of Calcasieu Pass in sight, feed gas demand will likely rise to new heights and soon consistently top 13 BCF per day. In today's RBN blog, we take a closer look at the recent volatility in LNG feed gas and the potential demand coming this winter. As we said in the intro, Freeport and Cove Point's outages have taken about 2.75 BCF per day of feed gas demand offline, but the situations at the two terminals are by no means the same. Freeport has been offline since early June after a rupture in the LNG transfer line caused an explosion at the terminal, see shutdown. The incident was in a relatively isolated area of the terminal near the storage tanks, and there was no damage to any of the liquefaction trains, storage tanks, or docking infrastructure. By most accounts, the repairs needed to fix the damaged line are complete, but the terminal must get the approval of the Pipeline and Hazardous Materials Safety Administration, or PHSMA, before resuming operations. Freeport expects to ramp up operations in November and have most of its facilities back online by the end of that month. The terminal will be able to produce about 2 BCF per day of LNG at that time, enough to fulfill all its long-term contracts. However, no peak capacity, more on that shortly, will be available until after winter, with the terminal likely to resume full operations in March 2023. Freeport had previously expected a return to service in October and the restoration of full operations by the end of 2022, but the timing of Freeport's restart remains at PHSMA's discretion. The outage has cost the global market about 74 cargoes, or 251 BCF, of LNG so far. These were cargoes that individual offtakers and the global market were depending on, and this has further constrained an already tight global market and been particularly hurtful to Europe, see Beyond the Sea, which is trying to replace as much Russian gas as it can ahead of, during, and beyond this winter. Cove Point, on the other hand, is offline for annual maintenance. This shutdown happens every year in late September or early October and is baked into both Cove Point's long-term offtake agreements and market expectations. The outage typically lasts about 3 weeks, so the terminal should be back online in the back half of October. In theory, the terminal could have produced 5 or 6 cargoes during the maintenance outage, but those cargoes were never expected, so the impact of Cove Point's outage can be more felt on the U.S. side, particularly in Appalachia, because that's where Cove Point sources all of its feed gas. The Maryland terminal receives Marcellus gas from Transco pipeline. Given how low Northeast storage inventories are this year, the Cove Point outage can help alleviate some of the tightness in the market this year rather than cause production curtailments and extremely low prices, like it has in years past. Although so far the impacts have been overshadowed by high domestic demand and pipeline maintenance dampening production levels, see RBN's NatGas Appalachia report for more. From September 30th to October 1st, the day Cove Point went offline, feed gas demand dropped by 870 million cubic feet per day, with 750 million cubic feet per day of that coming from Cove Point. Deliveries to Sabine Pass fell by about 160 million cubic feet per day that day, and then continued to decline, dropping below 4 BCF per day by October 3rd. Volatility in feed gas deliveries to Sabine Pass and Calcasieu Pass have pretty much overshadowed the impact of the Cove Point outage in the top-line feed gas number. The volatility at Calcasieu Pass is easy to understand, as pieces of the terminal are still commissioning. The 9-block, 1.43 BCF per day terminal looks like it will require somewhere around 1.7 BCF per day of feed gas at full operation. The first 6 blocks have been placed into service and the final 3 are authorized to take feed gas. Fluctuations in feed gas levels are typical during commissioning. Calcasieu Pass feed gas intake levels have been stabilizing lately, with fewer and shorter drop-down periods, indicating the terminal is likely nearly complete and the remaining blocks will be placed into service soon. The fluctuations at Sabine Pass are a bit harder to explain. The U.S.'s oldest and largest LNG terminal can export about 4 BCF per day of LNG and requires about 4.5 BCF per day of feed gas on average to do so, but that number can swing dramatically day to day. Pipeline maintenance can, of course, have an impact on any terminal, but feed gas flows still tend to bounce around even when there is no obvious pipeline maintenance. A big part of the reason is location. Terminals located in Louisiana typically see more day-to-day flow fluctuations than those located in Texas or along the East Coast. That is likely because the pipeline infrastructure in Louisiana is much more constrained than in Texas. LNG will never do without you. Exacerbating that is the very delayed completion of TC Energy's Louisiana Express Pipeline Project, or LAXP, on the Columbia Gulf Transmission, or CGT, system. The project began partial service in January, but some late-stage construction issues have delayed its ramp up to full service. It's now expected to achieve that by November 1st, according to recent Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, or FERC, filings, but that has already been pushed back multiple times. The project expands north-to-south flow capability on CGT by 493 million cubic feet per day, which, coupled with some capacity that was made available on the existing pipeline, will create up to 850 million cubic feet per day of available firm transport along the path that runs from the interconnect with CGT in Leach, Kentucky, to the Gulf Coast. Sabine Pass is the anchor shipper on the project along with the Acadiana expansion of the Kinder Morgan Louisiana Pipeline, or KMLP, which is already operational and transports the gas from an interconnect with CGT to the LNG terminal. This path is meant to be the feed gas source for Sabine Pass Train 6. Further contributing to daily fluctuations in flows at Sabine Pass is the relationship between the terminal's size, storage capacity, and marine infrastructure. Sabine Pass has an export capacity of around 4 BCF per day and the terminal has 5 storage tanks for a total storage capacity of 17 billion cubic feet equivalent, which is the lowest ratio of storage capacity to plant output of any U.S. terminal. But on top of that, 2 of the tanks were taken out of service back in 2018 because of a leak in, like with Freeport's restart, PHSMA is in charge of when they can return to service. Sabine Pass was given clearance to return one of the tanks to service in June, but it does not seem to be back online yet. Cheniere, the terminal's owner, received an extension from FERC to meet some of the conditions imposed by PHSMA about the tank's return, and Sabine Pass has not operated with full storage capacity since 2018. Storage capacity has remained around 10.2 BCF even as the LNG export capacity at the terminal has increased with new trains beginning service. Why does that matter? Or why does storage capacity matter at all when it comes to feed gas? It's a matter of optimizing the liquefaction process. Feed gas comes in, is liquefied, then LNG is stored until it can be loaded onto a vessel. If your LNG storage gets too full, then you have to reduce feed gas intake until cargoes can depart. The lower ratio of LNG output capacity to storage capacity leads to more daily fluctuations in Sabine Pass's feed gas intake. The other piece of the equation there is marine infrastructure, and on that front some relief is coming. Sabine Pass's third vessel berth is now commissioning. It loaded its first LNG cargo in September. Once fully operational, the terminal could theoretically load 3 cargoes at once. However, vessels will typically be staggered for safety, with one departing, one loading, and one arriving simultaneously. The dock will enable Cheniere to load cargoes faster and provide more flexibility. It also potentially paves the way for future expansions at the terminal, which Cheniere has previously hinted at, but that's a story for another day. For now, the third berth will help reduce and optimize vessel loading. Looking ahead, LNG feed gas demand is likely to grow. There is the marginal uptick in demand and a decrease in volatility associated with both Sabine Pass's third berth and Calcasieu Pass's remaining liquefaction blocks, plus the 2.75 BCF per day of demand associated with the return of Freeport LNG and Cove Point, in addition to the potential return of peak production. Last winter, nearly every plant was operating above its typical contracted utilization level. See higher and higher, some for very extended periods. Every LNG terminal in the U.S. set a record for feed gas intake and LNG output at some point last winter, and with Europe clamoring for LNG and global gas prices still sky-high, that's likely to see a repeat performance this winter. Feed gas demand excluding Calcasieu Pass, which was early in its commissioning process, averaged 12 BCF per day last January, about 210 million cubic feet per day above full utilization levels, with a single-day record of 12.84 BCF per day, nearly 10% above full utilization. With Calcasieu Pass fully in service, estimated feed gas at full contracted utilization is about 13.5 BCF per day, so peak production could push feed gas demand toward 15 BCF per day on some ultra-peak days. Peak operation is much more likely in the winter than in any other time of year. Feed gas demand also tends to stabilize at a higher level in winter, due in part to the physical properties of LNG and gas infrastructure, but also to produce the extra cargoes that Europe is desperate to receive. So while feed gas may be at its lowest level in over a year, it won't stay down for long, and we expect a sharp rebound over the next 2 months. Beyond that, provided Freeport is cleared to return to service, new record demand levels are in store for the winter ahead. Dizzy was written by Tommy Rowe and Freddie Weller. It appears as the 10th song on Tommy Rowe's 8th studio album of the same name. Released as a single in November 1968, it went to number 1 on the Billboard Hot 100 Singles chart. It has been certified gold by the Recording Industry Association of America. The bubblegum/pop song featuring modulating key signatures and funky drum breaks has been covered by artists such as Vic Reeves and The Wonder Stuff, Billy J. Kramer, Boney M., and Reckless Eric. Personnel on the record were Tommy Rowe on lead vocals, Ben Benet, Mike DC on guitars, Butch Parker, Don Randy on piano, Mike Henderson on organ, Joe Osborne on bass, Hal Blaine on drums, Clyde King, Ginger Blake, Shelley Clark on backing vocals, and Jimmy Haskell on strings and horn arrangements. The album, Dizzy, was recorded at Western Studios in Hollywood, with Steve Barry producing. Released in November 1968, it went to number 25 on the Billboard 200 Albums chart. Three singles were released from the LP. Tommy Rowe is an American singer and songwriter who had several chart-topping pop singles in multiple countries in the 1960s. He has released 13 studio albums, 5 compilation albums, and 59 singles. His last album was Devil's Soul Pie, released in 2012. Rowe continues to perform in concert.
Thanks for listening to the RBN Daily Energy Blogcast. For more information on energy market reports, maps, and consulting engagements, please visit us at rbnenergy.com. And thanks for rocking with us.